Good morning. I want to welcome you all as well, especially you visitors. Turn in your Bibles, if you have not already, to Luke chapter 11. As we continue our slow march through this chapter, or at least the first few verses. George Mueller is a name many of you might know from history. He was a 19th century Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He was renowned for his unwavering faith and commitment to prayer. He had cared for thousands of orphans in his lifetime, and never once during that time, the many years that he did that, did he solicit anyone for funds to support his ministry. Instead, Mueller trusted God to provide what he and the orphanage needed for each and every day. There's a famous account that I'll share with you. On one particular morning, the orphanage kitchen was completely bare. They were out of everything. There was no food, no milk, and no money. Despite this, Mueller called the children to the table. He had them sit down with empty plates, and he did what he did every morning with them. He bowed his head and he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank you for what you are about to provide for us this day." Well, literally within minutes of finishing his prayer, there was a knock at the door. It was the town baker, who said to Mr. Mueller, "I don't know why, but I could not sleep this last night, so I decided to get up and bake bread for you. And so I'll go bring in all this bread." And then moments later, there was another knock at the door, and this time it was the milkman. His cart had broken down right outside the front door of the orphanage. And knowing that he could not deliver the milk before it would spoil, he asked George if his orphanage could use the 10 large cans of free milk. And together, the bread and milk were just enough to feed all 300 children. Now, a skeptic might try and explain that away, that remarkable event, as a one-off coincidence. But by all accounts, that sort of thing happened regularly in George Mueller's life. According to one biographer, quote, "Hundreds of times he has held two prayer meetings in a day with his helpers, beseeching God to send them supplies for the next meal of food for the orphans. And in every case, the Lord has graciously answered their prayer. In 11 years, he had received 5,000 such answers to prayer," end quote. George Mueller's life was a picture of exactly the kind of faith that Jesus is teaching his disciples when he says, "Give us each day our daily bread." This is where we've come in our study of this prayer. As you know, we've been taking this prayer one passage at a time in order to slow down and glean as much as we can from it. This is a model prayer. Not to be recited word for word necessarily, although that's okay if you want to. It's to inform our prayer. It's to give us a structure by which we can come to the Lord when we have our private time in prayer, when we sit down in our prayer closet, so to speak, and spend time with our Father in heaven. What we've learned so far is that prayer is about drawing near to our Father with reverence and submission. We began with teachable hearts, asking the Lord to teach us to pray as his disciples did. And then we looked at the opening phrase or address, "Father," a unique and special privilege purchased through the blood of Christ, granting us access to God as adopted sons and daughters. We then saw that true prayer must begin with, "Hallowed be thy name," a cry for God's glory to be revered in all the earth and especially in our own lives. And last time we studied Your Kingdom Come, a longing for Christ's return, but also a present surrender to His rule in our hearts. And now finally, Jesus teaches us how to pray for our needs. And these are not selfish demands that He gives us here. He teaches us to come with humble dependence, asking for God to supply our most basic necessities one day at a time in childlike dependence. This second half of this prayer, it flows directly from the first half. The opening three petitions are entirely God-centered, right? Focused on who He is. He's our Father, and the reverence due His holy name and the submission to His kingship. But now, Jesus turns our attention to our most basic needs. And yet, even these are not disconnected from that first part of the prayer. Because He is our Father, we ask Him for provision. Because He is holy, we ask Him for pardon. And because He is King, we ask Him for protection. These three petitions give us, forgive us, and lead us. They represent the three greatest needs of life on earth: provision, pardon, and protection. And with these simple words in verse 3, give us each day our daily bread, He's teaching us how we come to the Father with humble daily requests. And as we're going to see, this reveals something profound about how our hearts are meant to depend upon Him. So we're going to look at this first petition here in verse 3 in three parts. We'll consider our request, the act of asking, and how Jesus teaches us to come to the Father in humble daily dependence. We're going to look at our resource, what we're actually asking for, not luxury, not excess, but daily bread, what we need to remind us that God is the giver of all things that we need. And lastly, we'll reflect on our reliance, the posture of our heart behind this prayer. Because this simple request, placed where it is in this prayer, shows us that even our most pressing needs are secondary to God's glory and His rule. And all will see that this simple petition is an act of trust in our Heavenly Father, the one who graciously supplies the provision that we need. It's going to be a simple message, might even be a little shorter than we're used to, because it is so simple. And I might repeat myself a little, because there's really only these two points: how we come to Him and ask, and what we're asking for. So we begin with our request. Give us each day, He says. With the very first word, give, with this very first word, give, Jesus calls us to recognize this deep, humbling reality that we are not the suppliers of what we need, right? We are not self-sustaining. We are not ultimately in control. No, we come to God asking His provision in total dependence on Him. This little Greek word, forgive, it's in the present imperative, which simply represents an ongoing, continual action. So this is not a one-time plea, but a continuous one, a daily request. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us next, doesn't He? When He says, each day, give us each day, which of course could be translated day by day, or each and every day, or for today. And together, it reinforces this idea that this prayer is meant to be the rhythm of our life. And that rhythm reveals something important about how we approach God. There is in this prayer a deep sense of humility in asking. You see, asking assumes a need, doesn't it? If we didn't need it, we wouldn't need to ask Him. And that's precisely the heart of the prayer. We are all constantly in need, aren't we? I mean, that's simple. We know that. None of us are self-sufficient truly on our own. And of course, that's countercultural. That goes against our humanistic nature and what the world tells us. Everything in our society says be self-reliant, be resourceful, be strong, be independent. And that's the American way, right? But Jesus is saying, when you pray, I want you to come as a child to your Father. Come completely empty-handed, recognizing everything comes from Him. I once knew a man who had a business similar to mine, and we were talking one day during the COVID outbreak, discussing how troubling things were, how uncertain things had become, and for him, his business had dropped off dramatically. And he said it was so bad that as he was driving to work this morning, I even prayed to God, God, you got to help me. Now, I'm not trying to pick on this man, but do you hear what that prayer reveals? That we only turn to God when we've run out of all options? When that prayer is our last resort? And sadly, I think that's how many people treat prayer. They handle things themselves until they can't. Then they reach out, hoping that maybe God will bail them out once they've done as much as they can do. But that's not what Jesus is teaching us here in this little verse. He's not calling us to last-ditch desperation. He's calling us to live in daily dependence, to start each day in reliance upon God, to come to the Father before we're empty, because we know that apart from Him, we are completely empty. And this isn't just a New Testament principle. We see this modeled all throughout the Scripture. In fact, if you'd like to turn with me back to Exodus chapter 16. Here in chapter 16, we see one of the clearest pictures of God teaching His people to rely on Him daily. Here Israel is in the wilderness. They're hungry. They're helpless, and they're grumbling about it. And God responds, not with anger, but with gracious provision. Look at verse 4 in chapter 16. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them.'" Notice that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. So this is a test of their trust, a test of their faith. But would they learn to live one day at a time by faith as God is setting up for them? Well, drop down to verse 16. He says, this is after this has happened, he says in verse 16, "This is what the Lord has commanded, gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it out with one omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt away. So each family was instructed to gather just as much as they needed for that day. And if they took more, it rotted away. And why is that? Well, because God wasn't just feeding them, was He? He was shaping their hearts to trust Him each and every day. This is exactly the spiritual posture of reliance and faith that Jesus is pointing us to in verse 3 of chapter 11. The daily provision of God is meant to train our hearts in daily trust of God. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 echoes this perfectly here. We see this in verses 7 to 9. The the author prays to God, and it's a simple prayer here. Look at verse 7. He says, "Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God." So his prayer is quite simple, isn't it? It's give me exactly what I need, Lord. Give me just what I need. Not too much, not too little. Give me exactly what I need to keep my heart fixed on you. This is the humility of one who knows he has nothing unless God gives it to him. It says, "I know I'm not in control. I know I'm not self-sufficient. I know that everything that I need comes from God." And that leads us to another truth that's embedded in this little request. We ask not only because we are needy, but because we know God is good. Our petitions honor the giver, don't they? Because they are an expression of confidence in a loving Father. We come to him not as beggars, hoping that he would notice us, but as children who know that we are already loved and cared for by the Father. That's why Jesus began our prayer. It's one of the reasons, anyway, why he began it with Father, right? The one that we ask, he's not reluctant, he's not indifferent. He is our Heavenly Father, which means he knows our needs and delights to meet them. In Psalm 34:10, it says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing," he says. And of course, James tells us that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. That is simply to say, our Father in heaven always does good, and he always is good. He'll never change. There's no ulterior motive to what God is doing. So we pray, give us each day our daily bread. We don't ask for God to provide our needs for a year or for a month or anything else. We ask for it each day consistently. We need God every day, don't we? Amen. We need him every day. And he invites us. How wonderful is that, that he invites us to come to him every single day. So as I said before, this reflects the daily rhythm of our lives, and the daily rhythm of not just dependence, but also communion with our God. Look, there's nothing wrong with saving for the future. In fact, that's responsible. There's nothing wrong with having food storage. That's quite practical. But what we need more than all of that is a humble attitude of reliance upon our Heavenly Father. In this simple little phrase, he's teaching us to live each day in light of the God who provides for his children. So this first part of this petition demonstrates this honest daily cry of a child who knows exactly where to turn for help. And of course, it's not a demand, as if we were entitled to this, or a desperate plea for as one who, after he's done all that he can, only then goes to God and asks for help. No, this is the humble request of someone who lives day by day, each day looking to the Father with his heart open and his hands open, expecting his Father to do what a good father does. So that's how we ask. And that brings us to the second half of the petition. As Jesus teaches us what to ask for, here he says, we see now our resource. Give us each day our daily bread. Okay, so the word bread there is artos. It simply means bread. That's easy enough. That's a Greek study for the day. In the first century world, bread wasn't a luxury. It was a part of their daily staple, right? It was a necessity. So to ask for God to give us each day our daily bread, it wasn't a request for riches or indulgences, but for that which is simple and sufficient and sustaining. It's a prayer for the basics, for what is needed to survive. Not what we want, not what we think we deserve, but what will sustain us, what we know our God in heaven knows we need for the day. But it also includes more than just literal food. Bread here, it functions as a metonym, which is simply a figure of speech in which a smaller represents the larger, or a smaller part represents the whole. For example, you watch the news. I'm sorry if you do, but you watch the news and you hear Washington said, or this came down from Washington. We know that they're talking about the government, right? The whole government, the federal government. Or men, when you ask a woman for her hand in marriage, hand is a metonym. You're not asking, you don't want to just marry her hand. You want the whole woman, right? Yeah. That's a metonym. It's the smaller part represents the whole. Well, in the same way, bread represents more than just bread. It refers to all that is necessary for life in this world. So when we ask for bread, we're asking him to meet our essential needs. And that would include our homes, shelter, food, strength, health, work, income, all the everyday things that we require for life on earth. So this one little word reminds us that we're totally dependent on him for everything he sustains, and that would include even our next breath. And I think that's part of what makes this prayer so precious. It brings the everyday stuff of life, the things that we even take for granted, like our next heartbeat. It brings it all before the throne of God. Jesus is dignifying the most mundane things of our human existence. And he's telling us to bring it to our Father. He delights to meet not only our spiritual needs, but he delights to meet our ordinary physical needs, our daily needs. And this is reinforced by the word daily, daily bread, he says. Now, this comes from a very rare Greek word, epiousion is the Greek word. In fact, it's so rare that it's only found here in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6:11, the parallel verse. And it's in Greek writing outside the Bible. We don't find it anywhere other than in Christian writing that talks about the Lord's Prayer. So because of that, scholars have debated its meaning for many centuries. Some have suggested it carries a future meaning, that it means our bread for tomorrow. Others think it means our bread that is essential. And even others spiritualize this, seeing it as a request for the spiritual bread of Jesus Christ that we need. I think the most natural and widely accepted rendering is the one that we have in our New American Standard, which is simply our daily bread. It kind of encompasses all of that, though. And together with the first half, give us each day, it reinforces the point of our continuous petition. I think it's clear what the Lord is teaching us here. He's not pointing us to some spiritual metaphor or even to future provisions. He's pointing us to a way of living that comes to the Father each and every day with hands open, relying on him. So again, this is not a once-a-week prayer. It's not a prayer for abundance. We don't say, Lord, I need that Learjet. You know, I need a nice Rolex. No. But a continual request for that which we need today, just today. I think that's the whole point. Jesus here is teaching us to live one day at a time. He's shaping our hearts to trust God, not only in seasons of lack, when the pantry is bare, but in the rhythm of daily dependence, even when our pantries are full. So when we pray this prayer, we're saying, everything I have comes from you, O God. Everything. Everything I need for physical life, even my breath. I think that's what Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 4:7 when he says, What do you have that you did not receive? What's the answer? Nothing. Nothing. Every bite of food, every breath, every dollar, every strength for the work that you do, all of it comes from the hand of God. And one more thing to notice, he doesn't say, give me my bread. We're to pray, give us our bread. This is a family prayer. This is a corporate prayer, a church prayer. In other words, it's not just about what I need. When I come to God asking for needs, I'm also praying for what you need, for what we need together. And that means when I pray this way, I'm not only confessing my own dependence, I'm also interceding for others. And that should shape my posture towards all those around me, all of you, and you the same. Just as we cannot pray, hallowed be thy name, without first honoring God in our own hearts, and we cannot pray, your kingdom come, without yielding to God's sovereign rule in our lives, we cannot pray for our needs to be met without praying for the needs of our brothers and sisters, for others, without a willingness and a desire to meet those needs where possible. Because listen, God may end up using your hands as the answer to the very prayer that I've been praying. And he might use mine to answer yours. God is a God of means, after all, is he not? Yeah, he uses us. It is the good work that he is working through us. This is a prayer that binds us together in dependence upon God. No man is an island, so the old philosopher said. And that is so true. We're all in this together. We're a family. This is a corporate prayer. It binds us in dependence and love for one another. So it's not a greedy prayer. It's not a name it and claim it prayer. It's not a prayer for prosperity, but it's a prayer of trust, a prayer of humility, a prayer of gratitude, and a prayer of intercession. It says, we depend on you, Lord, for everything. And when we understand that, it changes how we think about all the physical needs of our lives. It changes how we think about our work and about our money and about generosity and about contentment. Because when your heart is satisfied with the giver, with the bread that he gives you, well, that's always enough, isn't it? Yeah. Right? It reminds us that our Father knows what we need, and he is faithful to provide what is needed when it is needed, never too much and never too late. That is our resource. And it leads us to consider our reliance, this posture behind the prayer, which we've already sort of unpacked. Let's consider this key attitude of the heart that this prayer demands. It's instructive to us that Jesus didn't place this petition or any of the three petitions first, isn't it? It follows the exaltation of God's name and the longing for his rule. And I don't think that's accidental at all. I think that's entirely intentional. Jesus is showing us that prayer begins first with God, with his glory, with his rule, with his purpose. And only then does it move to our needs. Even our most pressing personal requests, although important, they are not the central theme of our prayers. Our prayers must be shaped by and submitted to the worship of God and the will of God. But even still, our God in heaven is a good Father. So we're invited to bring these needs to him, and we're invited to bring them each day. So this is how we ask. That's what we ask for, and that's how we ask. The prayer, "Give us each day our daily bread," reveals a heart that says, "Lord, I trust you more than I trust my plans. I trust my abilities. I depend on you above all else. I rely on your grace for each breath, each heartbeat, each day." And so in that way, it's not only a request, but it's a confession. It's a confession that I'm not my own provider, that you are God. And that is the attitude of heart that pleases God when we come to him in prayer. Not self-sufficiency or pride, but childlike, humble dependence. And that's exactly why God placed Israel in the wilderness and gave them manna, or at least partly why. As we saw in Exodus 16, that was a test, wasn't it? That I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. What does that show us? Could it be that sometimes God uses hunger to produce holiness? That he uses suffering to produce reliance upon him? He ordained their walk through the wilderness, didn't he? And that included their lack of food. And then he withheld the surplus of that food. Why? So that they would learn daily trust. It was never just about food, was it? No, it was about faith. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's forming in us a posture of humble reliance. We don't pray for excess, but like the man in Proverbs 30, we pray for exactly what we need. Not so that we can store it away and forget God, but so that we will need him again tomorrow. So in a way, there is a spiritual request in this simple prayer. We're not just asking for provision, we're asking for more faith. Give me exactly what I need to rely on you and to grow my faith in you. Just as George Mueller learned, watching God faithfully providing our needs each day, it gives us confidence in those days when the food does run out, when the money does run out, when the suffering does come into our lives. Confidence that our God is not only has the ability to give us what we need, and not only that he is willing to give us what we need, but that he will give us exactly what we need. Excuse me. That's the kind of faith that glorifies God. It's the kind of prayer that honors the giver. Praying this way then becomes an act of worship. And it frees us from anxiety because we know the one who holds tomorrow, don't we? He is our loving Father in heaven, and we've spoken with him today. And isn't that exactly what Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Are you anxious about tomorrow? Why? Are you wondering how your needs will be met? Is there too much month left for your money? Well, beloved, don't you see, you're not your own provider. You're not left here to figure it all out on your own. You have a Father in heaven who invites you right now to come to him, into his presence, and who promises to provide you what you need when it is needed. And even when it doesn't look like what you think it should look like, you can trust that his wisdom is above your wisdom. His ways are pure. His wisdom is perfect. He never makes mistakes. And so you can find contentment and peace with what he provides. But don't forget that corporate side of it. And that's important too. We should be praying this together. Are you in need? Then I ask, are you praying with your brothers and sisters that we might know that you're in need? And then God can use others to help you? Don't let pride be a suicide pact. We all need help at times. So first we go to God. Psalm 55:22. It's our family's memory verse. Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to stumble or to be shaken. Is it to be shaken? Obviously, I've not memorized that one well. It's to be shaken? Thank you. But also, after you've cast your burdens upon the Lord, you share it with your family that others might be blessed to also help you. And so if this is how we're taught to pray, then can't we say this is how we're meant to live? A life that prays this way is a life that gives this way. It's a life that serves this way. It's a life that holds everything in this life loosely and holds God tightly. Right? It says, I don't need to have tomorrow figured out because I know the one who already has. So it's a simple prayer, simple message. Give us each day our daily bread. But behind that little phrase is a lifetime of discipleship. He's not just teaching us how to pray, he's teaching us how to live. A life of worship before a holy God, a life of surrender under a sovereign king, and now a life of dependence before a faithful Father. This prayer reminds us who we are. We're not self-made. We're not self-sufficient. We're certainly not in control. If any of you are in control of things, I got a word. I want to have a word with you because things are a mess, aren't they? Well, no, actually, we have it pretty good in this country. But we are dependent children, and our Father is the perfect and faithful giver of all we need exactly when we need it. He gives us vitality and strength to work for our own bread. He gives us the opportunities we need to help others. You know, we pray this prayer in the morning, and then we get up and go to work. We pray this prayer, and then we consider how we can help others meet their needs. And sometimes he gives us the grace of comfort and peace in suffering, in knowing that he's sovereign, even in those times where we are left wanting, whatever that's in. But whatever he gives his children, it'll be enough because he's enough. Amen? Whatever, what greater need do we have than to know that he's our Father and we are his children? That's why Paul says he counts everything as loss, but for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. So bring your needs to him. Come to him. Come daily. Come as a child. And if your hands are empty today, lift them up anyway, because he delights to fill the hands of those who ask him. And Christian, I promise you that when you pray like this, it will change you. It will free you from anxiety. It will help loose your grip on this world. It will teach you to hold your plans lightly and your God tightly. And in the end, isn't that what faith really is all about? It's not having all the answers, but trusting in the one who does. So I again say, pray today and every day hereafter, Father, give us this day our daily bread, and believe that he will. And believe he will because he is your Father and he is faithful to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are, oh, such a faithful provider to your children, Father. You are never distant. You are never late with what we need. You know exactly what we need, even before we ask it, Father. And yet, you delight in us asking you each and every day. Oh, that's so wonderful that we can come to you, God. And teach us to do that. Teach us to do it daily, to depend on you all the time. And teach us, Father, to come not with entitlement, not with pride, but with dependence. And Father, help us to walk in the humility of those who know that we are in need each and every day, and with the confidence of children who know their Father is a good and faithful giver. And make us generous, Father, with what you give us. Make us content with what you have given to us each and every day. And Father, help us to walk with you. In Christ's name, amen.